produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Daily Audio Stash is where responsible marijuana smokers listen in on the latest news about cannabis, hear the voices of the marijuana law reform movement in special segments and interviews, and kick back with comedy and music no other podcast can offer. It's Normal's Daily Audio Stash. More information at normalaudiostash.com. First up today, it's news from Normal. Our news today, California governor vetoes hemp farming bill. Governor Schwarzenegger of California vetoed AB 1147, the California Industrial Hemp Farming Act, this weekend. The bill was approved by a vote in the California Assembly in August. AB 1147 was a bipartisan effort that would have allowed California's farmers to produce hemp oil, seed, and fiber, the raw materials that are used in hemp products. Industrial hemp is non-hallucinogenic and used to produce personal care products, food, paper, clothing, car parts, and building materials. Currently, raw hemp is imported from about 30 countries that allow the farming of hemp. State law does not differentiate between hemp and marijuana crops, so farmers have been reluctant to grow hemp, fearful that their crops would be confiscated. The bill would have required farmers to undergo crop testing to ensure that their variety of the cannabis plant is non-hallucinogenic, in return for assurances that law enforcement officials wouldn't confiscate their crops. The bill was co-authored by Assemblyman Mark Leno, a Democrat of San Francisco, and Chuck DeVore, a Republican of Irvine, California. Leno stated that farmers were willing to go to court and have the bill put on hold until a federal judge ruled whether it violated federal law. According to a 2005 Congressional Research Service report, quote, "The United States is the only developed nation in which industrial hemp is not an established crop," close quote. Stay tuned later today for an interview with Patrick Goggin from VoteHemp.com.
What a missed opportunity. That is exactly what happened this past weekend when the governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger, vetoed legislation that would have placed California at the forefront of progressive, enlightened, and sustainable agricultural practices by allowing California farmers the ability to cultivate and harvest hemp. Hemp, of course, is the non-psychoactive, industrial fiber-producing strain of the plant, known and demonized in our modern times as marijuana. Governor Schwarzenegger wrongly claimed in his veto letter to the citizens of California upholding hemp prohibition, in essence saying to the people and politicians of California, "I had no choice. The feds made me do it." Of course, in light of the many instances since Schwarzenegger became the governor of California where he disagrees with the federal government, such as his stance against federal anti-immigration legislation or his strong opposition to numerous federal environmental laws, his obsequious kowtow to the feds regarding hemp is disingenuous at best. With few peers, California is the trend-setting state these days, be it legal, governance, environmental, energy policies, or cultural. Considering Governor Schwarzenegger's penchant early in his life for marijuana smoking, his current laissez-faire attitude regarding California's dynamic medical marijuana scene, and the country of his birth, Austria, allowing legal hemp farming, it is very disappointing to see the gubernator wimp out against the feds and support the federal government's nitwitted prohibition against a plant. A terribly and wrongly demonized plant. A plant with thousands of industrial and commercial applications. This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back to the Audio Stash. Today, I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. We have a spectacular stash of audio for you today. Take a moment to join us at Normal to end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org. First up on the show today to focus in on the news story from California is Patrick Goggin from VoteHemp.com. He joined us by phone this morning from San Francisco, California. Patrick Goggin is the California legal counsel at the Hemp Industries Association, and he's also a board of directors member at VoteHemp.com. Patrick successfully helped lobby for the California Assembly's passage of AB 1147 and joins us today from San Francisco. Patrick, welcome to the Audio Stash today.
Thanks, Chris. Good morning.
Great to speak with you today, Patrick. Governor Schwarzenegger vetoed AB 1147 this weekend, yet it was passed by the California Assembly earlier this year. Tell us how the broader group of lawmakers out there in California dealt with the bill.
Well, the Assembly passed it out of back in January. It was primarily a party line vote. However, there was co-authors, Democrat Mark Leno, pretty liberal assembly member from San Francisco, and then a very conservative assembly member from Irvine, Chuck DeVore. It made its way through the Senate, both the Senate Public Safety and Senate Agriculture Committee. It got out of the Agriculture Committee, I might add, by a 3-0 vote, with both Republicans abstaining, indicating they wanted to learn more about this issue and were keeping an open mind. Ultimately, in the Senate, on the full Senate vote, we obtained three Republican aye votes, including Senator McClintock, a very conservative member from Orange County, who was the floor manager on the bill. So this showed that this was a bipartisan effort. While some on the right tried to make it a partisan issue, this really mirrored and is consistent with other states where this, showing this is a bipartisan issue, where folks are concerned about bringing back jobs to the agriculture industry, and this would do a good job of it.
And that really was the core issue of this bill, allowing California farmers to tap into this vast pool of revenue out there in the hemp industry. What and where would they have been selling?
The way the bill is crafted, the only items that they're able to sell into interstate market, crossing state lines, are what we would refer to as the unregulated parts of the plant, that being the fiber, the seed, and the oil. The only item that cannot be sold outside and transferred across state lines would be the viable seed. You have to use viable seed that comes from within the state of California.
Patrick, the governor said in his veto message that he was concerned about a conflict with federal law and giving a, quote, false sense of security, close quote, to farmers. But the assembly, the larger assembly, clearly felt that this would be an acceptable product to farm.
Yeah, well, what he's referring to is that if you have the federal government, through the DEA, continuing to assert jurisdiction, and you have farmers in the state of California feeling that they're free to go farm hemp, then the concern is that they would go plant hemp, and the DEA and the Department of Justice would come in and try to prosecute, saying, we don't distinguish under federal law between hemp and marijuana. Therefore, you're growing marijuana. What the industry's intention was all along was to go into court soon after the governor signed this bill, seeking a declaration from the court that this was okay under federal law. Therefore, we would avoid any confusion by the time the bill became enacted in early January. Essentially, what we would do is we would have moved for a preliminary injunction, letting the farmers know and everybody else know that at the moment, this is, you know, we're going to maintain the status quo until this issue is decided by the court.
Patrick, how much are California farmers missing out here economically?
Yeah, currently we're California manufacturers of hemp seed and hemp oil related products are sending millions of dollars a year up to Canada for just the seed and the oil market. That doesn't include the fiber market, biocomposite market, future ethanol production, renewable energy, biofuels, what have you. At the moment, which the market mainly would be for the hemp seed and the oil for the food and body care industry, which is millions of dollars a year. However, we see the potential going much, much beyond that, and we see it as the sky's the limit.
And let's talk about the nitty-gritty process here. How is industrial hemp actually farmed?
Well, I think folks should think about hemp as the same as growing, most other crops, corn, what have you. I mean, you're going to be going in with a combine to take the plants, the usable parts of the plant, and so forth. So that's there on the land, but remember we've also got we'll have processing plants, and they'll take folks to run the processing plants. It'll take folks to transport the fiber, the seed, and the oil to the processing plants. So what we're really talking about is rather than having just a manufacturing industry in California, we're talking about cradle to grave. So we start with the farming processes and take it all the way to finished product. So overall, we would be talking about bringing in the beginning hundreds of jobs to the state of California, but in the future, upwards of, into the thousands.
And Patrick, with this bipartisan support in the assembly, what's the future of hemp farming in California?
At the moment, we are going to allow the dust to settle here a little bit, take stock of where we're at. But I think the veto message was very clear in that this is not a no way, no how type of message. It's saying, essentially, to me, it's saying, hey, you got to go broaden your coalition. You've got to go peel off some of the opposition that exists, and you got to work with us. And we are, but the most important thing in that message was saying, look, we appreciate the legislature's good intentions here of trying to strengthen the agricultural industry in the state of California. That sends a signal to us that the governor is somewhat interested in this, but unfortunately he paid attention to what we believe is, a false sense of a large opposition in the law enforcement arena. Essentially, this was the fabric. Basically, this opposition was put together by one lobbyist representing the California Narcotics Association, who, through the process of getting additional opposition, misrepresented the bill to a couple of law enforcement entities, including police office. It's called PORAC, which has 58,000 members. After a single phone call from one of Mark Leno's aides, they retracted their opposition. So it shows to us that really this opposition is a paper tiger that's been really manufactured by the DEA and the Office of National Drug Control Policy. And while Governor Schwarzenegger bowed to kind of this irrational fear that that was presented to them by these folks, that if we persevere through working with the governor's office and building this larger coalition, that reasonableness ultimately will prevail and that this bill will pass one day.
Patrick, thanks again for joining us today, and I look forward to speaking with you again here on the Audio Stash.
Thank you much, Chris. Take care.
Patrick Goggin is California legal counsel for the Hemp Industries Association. They can be found at thehia.org. He's also a board of directors member at votehemp.com. Next up on the program today, the hemp bill is certainly not the only cannabis-related piece of activism going on in California, which is really the hotbed of marijuana activism in the United States. In San Diego, California, the attitude is quite different than the northern portion of the state. Federal agents have raided and shut down access to medical marijuana in the county, largely at the ushering of the conservative County Board of Supervisors. All of this goes against the large public support of medical marijuana in San Diego County. We've followed the San Diego issues largely through the eyewitness experiences of our next guest. Rudy Reyes is an independent activist in San Diego, California. Rudy suffered severe burns over most of his body and is now a medical marijuana patient. We spoke with Rudy over the summer about the raid and subsequent closure of his dispensary and the impact that the San Diego County supervisors are having ushering in federal law enforcement as they challenge Prop 215's implementation in the county. Rudy, welcome back to the Audio Stash today, and thanks for joining us.
How are you doing today?
Doing very well today, Rudy. Thank you. Rudy, tell us about the lawsuit you recently filed in San Diego.
Okay, well, I'm suing the county. They went and raided my spot as a patient in December 9th of last year, and they came in claiming federal authority, like they're doing right now. In turn, since they pressed no charges, nothing was ever... I'm the true patient in San Diego, even according to our own district attorney. Nothing happened to me. So I had to try to get my stuff back, try to get my stuff back. They tell me I got to sue them. So now I'm in that lawsuit. While I'm going through that process, I figured I might as well sue them for misuse of local funds, our taxes, and our officials going after federal rather than defending state rights.
And this suit is against the San Diego County Board of Supervisors, a group who have really caused a great deal of suffering in the medical marijuana community there in San Diego.
Exactly. I mean, I've approached them. I've gone... have personal meetings with these people. They're very closed-minded. They have their own little agenda to kind of push. So my only option is to sue.
Rudy, since we last spoke with you in July during the raids, have any new dispensaries been able to open there?
No, they've kept it closed, and the way they've done that is they've sent the little officers around and told everybody that if you reopen, we are going to federally charge you. So therefore, everybody's scared to reopen. And that's where we sit right now. Everybody's sitting waiting for the county board, I mean the city, to put up guidelines or decide what they're going to do with dispensaries. All they've been doing is delaying, denying, and deceiving us, keeping us as patients waiting on the back burner. You know, people are hurting, people are dying, but they don't really care.
So what happens to patients in California? I mean, have people just moved north?
A lot of people moved out of the city. A lot of people just straight up left here. A lot of people are fighting for their rights, or at least trying to. It's kind of messed up. For some odd reason, this southern area is very conservative, or not conservative. The politicians are conservative, and they're trying to kill 215 down here.
And what has the county board said about the lawsuit?
As a matter of fact, I went ahead and put a press release. I got myself on the news and went public to the media with it, and they jumped on it instantly and loved it. It took a great positive spin from the get-go. From there, I haven't heard anything on their end. I haven't heard a single thing. I know from the inside ends of some lawyers that the judge is supposed to be making a decision or a preliminary decision this November in regards to the county case. So I don't know if that's good in the sense that it's going to be pro us saying that they've already defended this in court. I don't know why you're bringing it up to me again. Or it could be, yeah, we've got something to go off of here. That's just a preliminary hearing. It would be more positive than anything, I believe.
And if the lawsuit is successful, Rudy, what will it do?
It'll bring about, well, number one, I end up reissuing regulations in the county, allowing shops to open back up and getting our state rights viewed again, rather than them ignoring them and just being federalists as they are. It also would allow them to realize that they're in the wrong, and I'm not really going after them for money. I'm just looking for this to be handled in San Diego, and taken care of, where we can get our medicine and not be persecuted.
Rudy, you had the courage to stand up as a patient there in San Diego. And in the aftermath of all this patient persecution, what kind of reaction do you get from people now?
It's interesting. See, the thing is I'm a burn survivor. No matter what, people are going to look at me anyways. So I get a lot of stares no matter what. A lot of people know me, and a lot of people recognize me. And a lot of people back me up. I've got about 70-some percent of San Diego in support of me right now. So I go around, and people give me a good going and a continue the fight all the time. Don't get me wrong. I do have the Republican-ended that they'll give me the mean face and the scorn and whatever, but I don't really worry about those people. They're whatever anyways. They're minority on this event anyways.
So San Diego has their foot on the neck of medical marijuana patients there. How does this lawsuit help fight that?
Of course they're going to throw the media spin that it's a no-good lawsuit and all this other stuff and this and that. But my whole lawsuit is based on the idea that they've been wasting our tax dollars going after something the state considers legal, right? This lawsuit they have currently against it is a waste of our tax dollars. And what they are doing is following their own agenda.
And how many members of the county board are up for election this year, Rudy?
This coming election year, I want to say two of them are up for re-election. One of them is in the county in which I live, and a lot of people are pushing me to run against her, but I don't know if I really want to do that. I don't want to get all dirty politics. Then from there, the other ones, they're in support of us. We got three of those officials who are in support of us. The other two are not. That would be Diane Jacobs, who's my county board, and Bill Horn, who's the North County board. Now, Bill Horn is the guy you hear about all the time. He's set up against this, you know, he believes he is in the right in doing what he's doing. Diane Jacobs is pretty much his puppet. I've spoken to her. She told me when she first met me that I was the first legitimate patient she had ever met and that I had redirected her in some new ideologies. Now, I don't know how true that is, but at least she had time to talk with me.
And also, Rudy, while we're speaking today, there's been a lot of news about the medical marijuana patient ID card program that's in place in 20 of 58 California counties. As a medical marijuana patient in California, how do you feel about the ID card program?
I think it's a good idea. I think it would be great for me to be able to be pulled over, him to just be able to go to this computer in his car, look up some site, and validate me yes or no. It would rock. Only because of the fact that now I've got a defense and a way to be checked on, where the cop is now, he's got that official way of knowing. It's not just me carrying around some invalid or really easily issued paper.
So the ID card system is something you'd like to see in San Diego.
As a patient that I was, one of the first things I did is I went up to L.A. and became part of the Medical Cannabis Buyer's ID program up there, just because of the fact that I wanted a card that had my picture on it for the cops to be able to check on.
And Rudy, how soon before this lawsuit gets seen by a judge or court in some way?
Well, my whole thing, I'm getting other patients. Mine's a civil lawsuit. I'm opening it up to anybody who wants to join, right, because that's what we're supposed to be here. So, I don't know. I've been told 3-4 weeks, and we're going to be in court.
Rudy Reyes, thanks again for joining us today here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash, and look forward to speaking with you again about this lawsuit soon.
No problem. I also do.
Rudy Reyes is an independent activist in San Diego, California. More information at saverudy.org. And let's round out our Monday show with a little music from podshow.com. We have links to all the artists we showcase right up at normalaudiostash.com.
Down the computer. Chopped and lowered. Check out the seam drive, it's slower. Bitches in the back to pick out the seeds. Even the robot has his needs. This machine don't run on gas. This machine's getting high on grass. Thank you.
up, bitch, it's Collyweed time. Roll up a blunt with that kind. This machine don't run on gas. This machine's like getting high on grass. I smoke weed like a ganja computer. Input must get high. I smoke weed like a ganja computer.
This has been Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Thanks to Podshow.com for all the great pod-safe music. We feature the band Carne Cruda as our theme. Make sure you visit our website at NormalAudioStash.com. That's NormalAudioStash.com for more information about every day's show. Thanks to Red Aphid Interactive Media for the podcasting technology. We're back at 4:20 tomorrow. If you listen to the Audio Stash, cast your vote at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. The podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.